Okay, what about warp drive? We're going to get there?
Well, warp drive is really neat because it sounds impossible. Because, you know, you're taught in high school, you can't travel faster than the speed of light. But you have to be a little bit more like a lawyer and parse that a little more carefully. You can't travel through space faster than the speed of light. But it turns out that space can do whatever the heck it wants. And it turns out space can expand or contract faster than the speed of light. So if you're riding along with space, you can actually be carried away from something faster than the speed of light. In fact, we're doing it right now. I'm not moving very fast with respect to you, and you're not moving very fast with respect to me. We're here on Earth, and relative to the sun, we're not moving very fast. But relative to a radio audience in a galaxy at the other end of the visible universe, we're moving away at the speed of light. And that radio audience is also not moving relative to their local surroundings, but they're moving away from us at the speed of light. So how can something be standing still and moving at the same time? Well, I'm standing still here, they're standing still there, but the space between us is expanding. And therefore, once you allow for space to expand, then you allow for weird possibilities. So, for example, in principle, if I wanted to go to the nearest star, which is 4 light-years away, and I wanted to use conventional rockets, it would take 100,000 years to do it. Say I didn't have 100,000 years to spare.
Right.
I could go up in a rocket ship, and if I could somehow manipulate space in a fraction of a second, I could cause the space between me and that distant star to contract and the space between me and the Earth to expand catastrophically. And when I looked out the window, I'd now be 4 light-years away from Earth and 100 miles away from the nearest star or whatever. So in principle, the laws of general relativity allow that. Now the key question is, can you do it in practice? And the answer is, we don't know. Because in order to expand space, you have to fill it with a very special kind of energy, a kind of something that has what's called negative energy, which is really weird, but we know it actually exists on microscopic scales due to the laws of quantum mechanics. But we don't know if you can create configurations on large scales that will allow you to expand space like that. So the bottom line is, it's an open question. We don't know if it's possible. We do know, however, that even if it were possible, the amount of energy required would be so vast that it isn't going to happen in any practical scale. It would require more energy than there is in our entire galaxy to do it. And so, alas, it's an academic question, but it's not something that we or any civilization that we can understand, unless you'd need a civilization that could harness the entire energy of the galaxy in order to even begin to consider such things. And so the good news is that aliens aren't using warp drive to come visit us and abduct people, because I have a hard time thinking that some aliens could harness, say, the entire power output of the sun would use all of that energy just to come all the way here to abduct psychiatric patients or some Harvard psychiatrist and kinky sexual experiments. It seems like a lot of energy to waste just to do that.
What about the ability to manipulate space-time by bending? Would we be able to travel throughout the universe instantaneously through a wormhole?
A wormhole. Now, that wormholes are fascinating, and wormholes, by the way, are big in Star Trek. Wormholes are shortcuts through space. If you think of a two-dimensional analogy, again, take a piece of paper and sort of fold it, then if you were somehow better than a piece of paper, take a rubber sheet and fold it, and if you were to poke in one end and another, you might bring two parts together that were otherwise very far apart. You might have had to go all the way around the rubber sheet to go from one place to another, but if you poke your fingers in at either end, then fingers might touch. And a wormhole is really a three-dimensional analogy to that. It's a shortcut through space. And it is allowed, in principle, by Einstein's equations of general relativity. And people have wondered, could they be used for space travel? I mean, Carl Sagan used it in his book Contact, and Jodie Foster went through a wormhole. And the interesting thing is that, again, it's sort of an open question. It turns out that we know if normal matter is all there is, normal matter and normal energy, you can't make a wormhole that will survive long enough for you to travel through it. And the reason is really quite simple. To bend space tremendously requires a great deal of energy, or matter. Matter and energy bend space. But if you put a great deal of matter or energy in one spot, it gravitationally collapses to form a black hole out of which nothing can escape. So we can prove mathematically that at either end of the wormhole, the mouth of the wormhole will collapse to form a black hole in a time shorter than it takes you to move through the wormhole. That is, unless you can come up with some new type of energy, which is gravitationally repulsive, and then it would hold the mouth of the wormhole open. And then you'd be able to have a traversable wormhole. And we just don't know if that's possible. And the reason, by the way, that that's interesting is, you might say, who cares about wormholes? But if you could have a stable wormhole, then you could build a time machine. And, of course, everyone's fascinated by time machines.
Do you think time travel, then, would be possible? Not future, but past.
Well, if you could make a traversable wormhole, we know that a time machine would be possible. And, in fact, my book, The Physics of Star Trek, caused a great stir because my friend Stephen Hawking, who wrote the foreword for that book, had previously said time travel was impossible. And he gave a very good argument, by the way. He said, if time travel were possible, we'd already be inundated by tourists from the future. And I came back to him, and I argued that they all went back to the 1960s and no one noticed. So he had to agree with me. But no, to be more serious, the point is that time travel into the past, as you know, makes many paradoxes. If you go back in time and kill your grandmother before your mother was born, then how can you exist? But if you couldn't exist, then how did you go back in time and kill your grandmother in the first place?
Exactly.
These kind of time travel paradoxes, of course, the fodder of great science fiction, including a lot of Star Trek episodes. But we can show that if these configurations exist, if you had a wormhole, you could go through the wormhole and come out 5 years earlier, it turns out, if it were just right, and then come back through normal space and arrive where you started before you left. And so that's why some physicists are fascinated with the idea of, is this possible, even in principle? Because if it is, it means the universe is very strange. And we don't know the answer, although, again, to be fair and honest, all of the preliminary evidence suggests that it's likely not to be possible to make such a wormhole. It's likely to be possible not to make a time machine. And so the universe probably doesn't allow backward time travel. But it is an open question right now, and we just don't know the answer to it.